Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, grip us. Surround, put arms around, and pull us in tight. Make us as one. Make us as one voice, one mind, one body, one continuous, solid prayer. We are humbled in your presence. We are awestruck at your ability to take care of us in what may seem to someone else the most meaningless and senseless moment. You put your divine intervention right there. Amen. Thank you. You watch over, you protect, you keep, you guide, you direct whenever we give it to you. And so today, let's take our fears, our worries, our concerns, and lay them in front of you, and let us walk away from them. Whatever they may be, we give them to you, Father. We give this church to you, this congregation, this family to you. We give it to you. You tell us what to do next. You lead us in the direction we would go, but we ask that you hear our concerns and then remove them. And be in prayer for that. Showers of blessings, Father. You roll them down at the moment we need them the most. Not when we want them, not when we think we need them, when you see fit. It's hard, but it teaches us. Your time, your way, your will. Watch over and keep those who are unable to be here today due to various commitments, traveling, wherever they be going. Take them where they need to and place them safely. If they are going and coming, bring them back home. And for those suffering under sickness, illness, and distress, hear us as we call out, Father. It hurts us as much to see one of your children not here that we are known to and love. Father, please be with them. And give us the answer to the question, what shall we do? I ask that you would be with the leaders of the country, the men and women serving, the teachers, those around our own home that provide for us. And as it is going on across the country, Father, for last week to probably the end of next week, the graduates. So many young people, so many lives, so many changes getting ready to take place that are tremendous, Father. I ask that you be with them especially. That you awaken hearts to you, Father. That you put those young minds to you, seeking you out and your will. Leading them through the steps they take, leading them through the crossroads they must go, Father. Must go. I ask you to be with them. Lift us up as we pray the way your Son would have us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What does Speedy Gonzalez say? Jeremiah. Going to go Old Testament here today. Jeremiah chapter 29. Saw the funniest thing. A guy was having a conversation with God, and he was telling God that God had made a mistake when he created women. And God looked at him and said, "You don't want me to get all Old Testament on top of your head, do you?" I thought that was funny. Little Old Testament's good. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 8 through 14, here on graduation day. You got to go way back to find that. Jeremiah chapter 29. verse 8. Excuse me. Yes. And he's speaking to the exiles. Jeremiah has gotten a word from God. And this is what God is saying to him. Yes. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. A whole lot in those verses. Graduation day. Now I've got your attention. Let's see how we tie it together. But first, let's ask the Lord for His strength in this message. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds. Let us seek out the message. Let us dwell upon the Word. Let us open up. Let us all remember we all graduated. Let us be your children, strong today, seeking your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You walked across that stage, right? What's the first thing you did? What I did? I'm free! I graduated high school. Actually, I didn't walk across the stage. We'll get to that. I'm out of here. I ain't going to take English classes no more. I ain't got to learn no nothing else. I ain't got to listen to nobody. I am done, done, done. Yes, indeedy. I am graduated. That's what you... No, you didn't say that. Yeah. Graduation day. All right. That was the thoughts in my head. I'm out of here. After 17 years of school... Let that one sink in for a moment. That was the thoughts in my head. I'm on my way out of here. I will not be going to prison anymore. Yeah. I got to go to work. Hey, let me back in. Those are the thoughts in my head that day when I graduated. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I hated school. There was no good place in my mind for me to be there. And you know what I started thinking? I've graduated. I don't have to learn anything else. I'm done. I don't have to sit through them boring classes. Well, I love shop class. I know that's hard to imagine. I'm done learning. Boy, was I ever stupid. Well, not was. I still am. And I know it. Now, Sky, Miriam, Derek, I'm preaching pretty much to you through this sermon. And you're going to get a whole lot of neat things when you graduate. And the one thing you're going to get a ton of is advice. You're going to get all kinds of advice. You're going to get told how to do things. You're going to get told what you should do. I still get told what I should do a lot of times, but we're not going into that today either. You graduated from school. You made it out. And you're going to hear some advice. And my favorite advice given comes from the great Will Rogers. He had three steadfast statements of advice that I guarantee you, if you listen to them, they will carry you through life and keep you out of trouble. Number one, never slap a man in the face that chews tobacco. That's good advice. Number two, the quickest way to double your money is to fold it in half and put it in your back pocket. That's number two. And number three is if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. That's serious advice. If you find yourself in trouble, stop. I couldn't. It took me a long time to throw that shovel out of the hole. It took me a long time to figure out, quit digging deeper. If you find yourself in trouble, stop. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Now, Will Rogers went on to say, there are three kinds of men in this world, three kinds of people in this world. The very, very, very small few learn by sitting down and reading first. I know you're going to find this hard to believe, and my wife will tell you this is the truth. When we get something that says, read the directions first, I sit down and read those directions front to back. I love it. I love seeing, because I have been that idiot that has been putting something together, thought, oh, I know how to do this, and got halfway through it and was like, how come that don't fit? And you go back and look on page 6, make sure you do this before you do this. I read the directions. Very few people will learn by reading. Very, very few. That's one group. Now there are my favorite group. Those who learn by observation. Who in there? There you go, Mike. I see that thumbs up. Who learn by watching somebody else. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of smart people in this room. I'm not in that group. I'm in the dumb group that's coming up. And then there is the group who just have to grab onto the electric fence to see if it's really working. Don't you work on goats or something like that? You got any electric fences around there? You ever walked up and grabbed it just to see if it's working, even though the indicator's blinking saying it's working? So you're not too bright either. Good. You got a long life to learn then. You're just like me. Amen for that, brother. Now, I read that scripture this morning and I saw an awful lot of eyebrows go like this. What? We're going to tear it down and talk about graduation from the words of Jeremiah. There are a lot of things that are going to come at you. A lot of things that are going to suddenly change. You're not in school anymore. I don't know if you're planning on going on to college. When I graduated high school, about a week later, I had to go to this career fair. I had to go because my father had my shirt like this. And he said, you're going to learn something. I learned I didn't like him pulling me by the shirt. And I went in and I walked past the college tables and they said, would you like to go to college? And I went, and then there was the army tables and the military tables. And at the very end of the career fair, there stood my grandfather going, the dairy's waiting. Well, I went right with him. We started going to college. I'm going to have to now because I have to take these classes. But a lot of things are going to come at you. And they're going to come at you so quick, you're not always going to catch it until it's too late or later down the road. Go back to Jeremiah. For all of you raised eyebrow people, we're going to go down to verse 11. God is talking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah has now graduated. If you read this prophet's chapter, he has graduated into leadership and not in a comfortable place. Jeremiah has been given the job of making Israel straighten out. He's no longer just learning. He's now at the point of doing. Verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you. God does know the plans He has for each and every one of us. Each and every one. Every minute of every day. And Gisela, thank you. You couldn't have told a better story at a better time. To know that everything is laid out for you. And that's the truth. The good things you need to know is to listen. That's the best thing you can do, is to listen to what everybody has to say. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21 says this, "The godly give good advice, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense." Me. Listen. People are going to tell you the craziest things, but there's going to be some truth in there. Listen to what the people tell you that you know that are godly, because they're going to be seeking your heart to lead you. They're not going to tell you what to do. They can't. They're going to offer up things. Listen, don't have to answer. You don't necessarily have to run out and do it. Unless it's me, and I tell you to sneak down at the end of the buffet and get me another piece of cake. Godly advice. And there you begin to find your way. I wish I'd paid more attention in high school. I wish I'd have done more things. I really, truly do. I wish I hadn't been the bullhead that I used to be. Used to be. Why are you clearing your throat like that? Today I want to talk to you, not at you. God has told Jeremiah, okay, you've had your training. It's graduation day. In verse 8, he lays it out. Yes, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies. That's the world waiting. I can't promise you, I can't tell you, I can't begin to even know how to honestly guide you, because I barely graduated and I have to fight each day to see my guidance. I don't know how to handle that part of it yet. But I do know this room is filled with your family that does. They love you. And it's obvious when you look at those pictures out there. That must have been a camera working overtime. How many did you burn up taking pictures? My mother, before she died, was the picture takingest picture taker of all people. She's got a vault somewhere, somehow, that must be filled with 10,000 pictures. I've not seen them. But the love that is felt there is the beginning of wisdom for you. On this day. On your graduation day. In verse 8, we hear the words of a father talking to his son, telling him, "Son, listen to me. Don't make these mistakes. Brian, Steve, I'm talking to you now. You are not done by any stretch of the imagination teaching. At all. I am 40, how old am I, two? 42 years old. And I'm pretty good in the shop. Recently, we put the swimming pool back up, because I was not happy with the way it sat last year. So I tore it down and I put it back up. And I was not happy with the way that the college-educated men engineered and designed it. And I told Wendy, I can do better. She has learned after almost 10 years of marriage, and it will be 10 years next month, she has learned to just go, oh my golly, and let me run wide open. I was not happy with the way that pool filtered. I was not happy with anything. And so for the past 3 days, I designed my own filter system using pieces and parts from pools I've collected over the years. And what happened? That pool is crystal clear this morning. I even drank some of the water. But do you know what? I'm pretty smart. I still have to pick up the phone. Dad, yesterday I was wiring up the electric pump motor, and I know I've done it 100,000 times, and I put it all together and I plugged it in the fire flew it. I unplugged it. And I got on the phone with my dad. Couldn't get a hold of him. Dad must be out somewhere. So I called the next best thing to my father. I called my uncle. I said, hey, what did I do wrong? He said, go back and read your schematics. And he, from a phone, read through them with me and said, you got one wire wrong. I reset it, plugged everything back in, pump worked. I'm not done learning, ever. Neither are you. You, Brian, you, Steve, you ain't done teaching or learning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 10. Give these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your heart. Verse 7, Steve, Brian, hear these words. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities, do not build houses, but fill them with good things. You're not done teaching. You're not done learning. For as much as she has graduated, you're still going to be guides. You're still going to be instructors. And you're still going to learn from her. I thought I knew everything about how to play with toys until I had them boys. And now happily they're teaching me new stuff with Legos. Graduation day. Brian, Steve, be there. Always. Love her. Guide her. Direct her. Always. That's your charge. That's your job. You'll be rewarded 2 times, 3 times, 4,000 times over. And for as so much as Derek is a part of your family, your duties extend to him as well. Love him. Guide him. Direct him. You're charged with it as men of God. My father had a great way of getting me through high school. Because I wasn't going. I had done quit high school in the 7th grade. Yeah, they call it playing hooky. You don't never want to get caught by your big preacher father playing hooky. Let me just tell you that right now. Because you will not sit down for a week. My father had a great way of getting me through high school. When I turned 16, I said, I'm quitting. And as his hand closed back here, he said, you'll go through high school if it kills me, which means it's going to kill me, not him. And he made sure I got through high school. He wanted it to be so important to me that I graduated and accomplished that feat that he threatened me daily. And I made it. But God in Jeremiah is saying the same thing. Do this. I have plans for you. There is so much coming at you today. And I'm sorry, but this sermon is for you. I just want you to know how much we love you. Both of you. I know that's hard. You're 18 years old. What a golly. Ew, that's creepy and icky. You're not always going to be 18. One day you're going to be 40, and you're going to love to know that that was there. You're going to love having that foundation. We go through that. God is watching us, planning for us, so much in the plans that He's given us that He's taken us through everything, including giving us Jesus. That is a beautiful hymn that we sang, above all. Gave us the gift of Jesus and gave us the other gift. Mothers. Mothers. Proverbs chapter 31 says this, she girds herself with strength and strengthens herself daily. She perceives that the provision for her family is good. She does not retire early, but works diligently to see to the needs of her family. She is not an idle woman. Jackie, you raised her. You loved her. You still do. Now it's your charge. You're not done. You're not done learning. You're not done teaching. You're not done worrying, raising, or any number of other things. My stepmother still calls me up and worries at me on the phone. Still, I'm 42. Your work is not done. You're to teach her and continue to lift her up as God would have you to do. And you start with prayer. You start with that encompassing strength that you can only get through prayer. This is a big deal. Graduating from high school, I don't care what anybody says, it's a big deal. You can graduate from college, that's all well and good and wonderful. But graduating from high school, from everything you had to go through, and for me it was a long time ago, but I remember it. You were part of it, Jackie. You are the women that Paul talks about. In 2 Timothy, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he's encouraging him, and he wants him to understand the value of the women in his life. And so he writes these words, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, "I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which now lives in you and your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am sure now lives in you." The mother. Yeah, the father's great, but the mother. She's everything. I've told this story 1,000 times. I'm going to tell it again. It's a little precursor to Father's Day, which is two weeks away. I heard Bill Cosby tell this story one time, and it makes me laugh so hard. He said, you have a child and you raise him up. You have that boy and you teach him to be strong. And you sit down on a chair when he's up and walking, and you say, come here, son, attack my leg. And he runs at you. Now get back up. Now attack it again. And you bump him. Now get back up. And you get him and grab it. And he gets bigger and he gets stronger. And as he's getting stronger, he starts to attack your leg and it hurts. So you take him out there and you point him to a tree. Get that tree, boy. And he attacks that tree and he grows stronger and he starts to play football and he goes through high school and he graduates and he goes to the great big college and he plays football in the college and he's strong and he's wonderful and you see him making all these touchdowns and he goes on to the NFL and he's exciting and he makes the game-saving touchdown in the Super Bowl that has his team win and he drops the ball and he turns around and he looks right at the camera and he says, "Hi, Mom." That's how important she is. That's what it means. And her love extends to you as well, Derek, and I know it. Because I've heard her talk about you. Because I've gotten phone calls. Some of my favorite phone calls is when I hear the phone ring and I answer it and I hear these words, "Paul, this here's Jackie." She cares. She loves. I am caught remembering my day. Who in here thinks about right now the day they graduated from high school? Put your hands up. Remember that day you walked across that stage? I guess. I didn't get to walk across the stage because I graduated in a wheelchair. There's one you don't know. I had been in a truck accident, 3 days prior to graduation and couldn't walk. But I graduated. And everybody knew it. And our graduation class was just a little bit over 400 at Damascus High School. But I remember that day. I remember finally turning around and looking at my dad and thinking, I graduated, and there's my dad and my mom, and they're standing there, and I'm thinking, all right. And I look over, and this is the looks they were giving me. It's a long story, and it's still working. Now, I'm about to do something that you've never had done before. I am going to tell you exactly what to expect for the rest of your life now that you've graduated. I know the answer, and nobody else in this room does, and today I'm going to share it with you. Are you ready for the answer? I have no idea. But I do know this. I want to read you a story, and you've heard it, and everybody in church has heard it. And I love telling this story, and I love reading this. It's called The Parable of the Lost Son, and it's in Luke. And I want you to listen carefully to this story as I read it to you, because there's a reason. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me mine. Give me my share." And he divided his property. And the son set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth, and he spent everything he had. And a severe famine came into that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so this boy went and hired himself to work as a citizen of that country. He went out to a field to feed pigs. You ever fed pigs? I have. He longed to fill his stomach with what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He'd gotten that far away. He'd gotten that low. He had gotten that removed, and it can happen. I can tell you it can happen. And when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, and I will go back to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' And so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to him and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring me the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. And Derek and Skymere, to you I say, never forget where home is. As you trundle out into the world, never forget where home is. You have a family. Some of them are here. The rest of them are on each side of this church. You have a place here, home. Don't let it ever get so distracted. Don't let it ever get so lost. Don't ever start digging a hole so deep you can't throw the shovel out and come home. You have a God and you have a Jesus that loves you. Here. We love you. We see that you're getting ready to take off into the world. And I guarantee you, everybody in this room is looking over in your direction going, 'I'm praying for you.' Amen? And my final charge is to you, the brothers and sisters, the family, each and every one of you. I'll get to charge you too. That includes me. My final charge is to you. You are the rest of the teachers from here until the end. And the listeners. And the learners. Your job is to pick up where they leave off. It's to give a different but the same viewpoint. It's to be godly in front of them. It's to be lifted up in front of them. It's to be in front of them in such a way that you show yourselves as the foundations on which Derek and Skymere have been built and sent out. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "So then," listen to me, brothers. Listen to me, sisters. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him." Paul's writing this letter, "rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Teach it on. Watch over them. That's your charge. That's your job. We are not to be there in judgment. We are to be there in kindness. Not in harsh rebuke to young people who are going to make a world of mistakes. I'm sorry, it's going to happen. No way around it. Not in indifference, but you're there to love, to construct, to strengthen, to lead, to care, and guide as well. And you are to show them always that we are God's children saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's your job. That's your charge. And you can't be fired and you can't quit, so you got to do it anyway. In short, we must always welcome them as family, as friends, as brothers and sisters. So what do I know about living life? I have made a very good mess of it for a long time. I always thought I knew more than everybody. And I still do from time to time. I know that's hard to believe. I'm such a quiet person. But I charge you two with this simply. Don't forget home. Go out and do what you're going to do. Go out there. You're going to have to cross the words. The great Yogi Berra, the baseball player, the manager, he always said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. You'll grow. You'll learn. You'll love. You'll hurt. You'll get knocked down. But you'll come back. I promise you that. I promise you that somewhere down the road, something is going to take you down, but you'll come back if you just remember where you began. Isaiah chapter 41. I want you to hear this. I'm going to see to it you get a copy of these verses. Isaiah chapter 41 writes these words in the 10th verse. So do not fear. God is writing this. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you upright with my righteous hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find him. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and who says to you, do not fear. I will help you. I will help you. I got to admit, I admire you. There are times I wish I could go back and start all over again. And then I stop and think, the journey I've had brought me here. If I started all over again, I might not have made it. And so I'm thankful for what I have. But I say to you, congratulations and welcome to the beginning of your life. It's going to be a lot of fun. I simply ask you to take a part of what I've talked about today and pray on it. Try it. If you get stuck, ask for help. I do. I get stuck a lot. I call a lot of different people. Can you help me? Can you lead me back? It's graduation day. When was it, Saturday? Was your ceremony Saturday? It was a Friday. Now the world waits. We pray for you. We love you. And we ask to keep you close to us always. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Heavenly Father, take these two lives and let them never forget what we have for them. Let us be diligent to them. Let us be strong to them. Let us carry them, Father. Each and every one in its own capacity. Father, mother, friend, aunt, uncle, family member, church member, preacher. Let us be to them what you would have us be. We pray for them, Father, that you would surround them with your protection and with your love and carry them forward. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I think there are some gifts for you too. So in a moment, we're going to do something. And you're going to have to come up with it. I'm sorry. But you're going to have to. Last two pieces of advice. Do not be too hasty to neglect the church, or God and His treasure? See, there's a story about a wealthy young man. His name was Bill, and he was graduating from the big high school, and everybody in his school was rich, and it was customary to give a car when they graduated. Did you get a car when you graduated? I got a razor. It was customary. Bill and his father had spent months looking for the perfect car, and the week before they found this perfect car, and uncertain on graduation night he was going to get it, but you can imagine how upset he was when his father handed him a Bible at graduation. He was so angry, he threw it down, stormed out of the house, and never saw his father again. It was only at his father's death that brought Bill home, and as he went through his father's possessions that he was to inherit, he came across that same Bible that his father had given him. He opened it, and inside he found a cashier's check for the exact amount of that car for that present. Never neglect the word of treasure that comes from a Bible. And finally, stay strong in your ties, in your race. Keep yourself lit up. The Greeks had a great way of racing in the Olympic Games. It was unique. The winner was not the runner who finished first. It was the runner who finished with his torch lit. I want you to run that way, always with your torch lit. Don't worry about being first or not. Just keep going. Now you have to come up here. Please. Both of you. And if you don't, I'll come to you so you can choose your poison. Peggy?
Right up here. Right in the spotlight. I think she has something for you. Turn around and face. There you go.
This is really emotional because I remember being sitting here before. I was there at the hospital. And being as a Christian man and going to the church, you know, we didn't look at
Now, come on up, prayer warriors.
Step in there and turn around.
I need my warriors up here, all of you. We're going to put prayer on them.
You can't hold hands in front of them.
It'll be okay. Find a spot and hook on either to me or to them. We're going to pray over them. If you can get up here, if you can, just send the prayer this way. We'll feel it. We'll wait for you, Chuckles. I know you're coming.
It's okay.
We do this because we love you, not to embarrass you. You understand that. Alright, everybody's here. Let us pray. Father, I commit these back to you. While they're still belong to the families, friends, ultimately they're yours. And we would ask that you would do with them your will and that you would manifest it in them. We would ask, Father, that you would guide them and lead them through this life and help make their decisions strong and straight. Allow them to make mistakes. Support them when they fall and lift them back up. Let them be ever mindful of your Son Jesus and the precious gift He gave for their free will. And if it be your will, Father, let them find themselves here stronger. And if they have to go through a time of tribulation, let us pray for them. We stay firmly trenched in your faith, Father, that you've given us. Let us place it on to them and send them out with our love and with your folds covering them. And let them never be afraid to turn to either one of us in any time of trouble or question and simply say, "Will you help me?" Don't ever let them be scared of us or too shy to learn you. Watch over and keep and bless them, Father. All of God's children here today said,
Amen.
God bless you.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus?
Will you decide now to follow Jesus?
Will you decide now to follow Jesus?
No turning back,
no turning back.
And now I place over you the blessings of heaven. May you be made strong in the week to come and find us here together again, worshiping and praising God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.